Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for sending us this wisdom from yourself, these parables from yourself, from so many directions, and they all come together so marvelously, Lord. What a confirmation. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk to you again about delivered from captivity. This will be number 7, and a very good one. Okay, this first one, we called it Shark Attack. Bill Steenland sent this in on 7/22, this 2020. He said, I had a short dream that a bunch of UBMers were on a beach. Well, the Lord told Abraham that his seed would be as the sands on a seashore. So this represents the true church here. Not all of the church, but our little part of the church, right? And David was there, and I knew others were too, but I don't know who exactly. I was on a short bridge in a hotel leading to the beach, but was over the water. I had a view from above, and I saw that the people were playing in the water. I would call it... that this represents the washing of the water with the word. You love the water, right? Love, the beachgoers love the water. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? That means you're very interested in what pleases the Lord. So you're in the water, right? Amen. I had a premonition that a huge shark was coming. So I waited to see. Sure enough, a huge shark with a few others came into view. We already know who they are. They were very large. I ran down the bridge back to the sand of the beach and yelled to David, "Sharks! Sharks!" I don't think anyone from UBM was in the water at that time. But I'm not sure. I would say that's probably correct. A shark represents a predatory beast that devours people with its mouth. Remember, we were warned not to devour one another, right? Well, these people didn't take that warning, and they don't think they have to. And this, of course, represents the factious slanderers. I think the dream is obviously pointing, Bill said, to factious people, but for some reason I had the words false prophet come to me also as I was writing this. And of course, this is the leadership spoken about of the factious people. Many of these people are just deceived. Some of them actually will come out from among them. I don't think they will make it into the bride, but because they waited too late, we've had a dream like that. But I do believe they'll be saved. A remnant of them. And this next revelation is eagle devours the flag. So, you know, as we read this, we can see that these fit both factions, the one in the government and in politics and the one in the church. But they both belong to the same dragon, right? Yeah. So eagle devours the flag. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks on 7/16. You know, I don't tell people to send them these in at a certain time. I really don't. I just leave it totally up to the Lord, and He does. And I don't know who's had these dreams before I get them, in most cases. So it's just very interesting how he puts all this together for us. And she says, on 7/16/2020, I had this quick dream. I was looking at an image of the American flag with an eagle perched in front of it. The eagle looked very regal. And my note is, but it opposes and devours America. Yes, because what people have thought was the eagle is something totally different behind the scenes. The rulers of this thing behind the scenes, both in the political and in the church, right? Then there appeared a man standing behind this image. I could only see the torso of this man in a glowing white shirt. And she put in parentheses a note, the Lord in his man-child across America? Question mark. And, you know, it's interesting that we've had dreams that describe both the man-child in this kind of a way and President Trump. I just shared that with you recently. Very, very interesting dream. And so I believe that this is correct. But I also added this note. And in parallel, the Lord through President Trump as a type of Cyrus is conquering Babylon, America, and stands behind America. He is a giant according to Sandy's dream. Yes, that's right. So you can see that this man standing behind America is both the spiritual and physical heads. She said this man's chest was very large, as wide as the flag. Then the eagle was on the right side of the flag and facing it. He reached with his beak and started to eat the upper right edge of the flag. And Barry, her husband, put an interesting note, Washington, D.C. Yes, it's kind of in the upper right edge, right? Yes, it is. Yeah, I would say that's exactly what they're attempting to do. Devour the flag. And in the government, in Washington, D.C., and among the poor people who have been demonized through the mainstream media, and the Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all these people out there, they're doing the same. And Vanessa said, I was surprised and said, he's going to eat the flag. Well, you can see they don't have any love for the flag out there. Now, I'm not a big flag person, and I don't pledge allegiance to the flag because I've known for a long time who was behind the flag. And, of course, we don't even pledge allegiance to the Lord because we're not able to make one hair of our head white or black, but we do commit our lives unto him, and we ask for his grace to cause us to be obedient to him. Amen. So the flag is, of course, a symbol of who America is. Look who is burning the cities and the churches, the leftists, the Democrat faction, backed by the communist China. There's a little tit-for-tat going on here between China and the United States. Very interesting. There is a war going on behind the scenes. Yeah. And they, of course, are supplying the money for the mainstream media false prophets and the Democratic Party, since Trump's done everything he could to take that money away from them. And look who is devouring those in the churches who fail the love test. See, God has told us quite a bit about this love test. And these people fail the love test. They can't possibly be in the bride who loves the Lord with all of her heart and keeps his commandments, because these people do not keep his commandments as regards to their relationship to the rest of the body. They break them every time when these demons come upon them. These factious usurpers, with their slander, are everything contrary to the Lord and his people. And they impart demons through that, those slanders. The eagle has represented many beast entities like Babylon, which represents the deep state factious government, who is a usurper just like the religious faction. It is devouring America. And like Barry said, especially the government. The eagle also represents the Roman Empire that devoured Christianity. It also represented Hitler, who killed twice as many Christians as he did Jews. A lot of people don't know that. Men have pledged allegiance to the flag when it had its Satanist deep state government. That doesn't put you in a good position with the Lord, does it? And the factions in the church and the government in America are members of the dragon body. As you know, the dragon seeking to devour the man-child, that is the religious faction. Yeah. And, of course, there's a governmental faction, too. They're seeking to devour President Trump and failing in both cases. And they are being devoured now. I mean, they are reaping what they sow. They're being devoured. They're being devoured by demonic activity, taking them farther and farther from God, reprobating them in a most obvious fashion. Here's a word that we received by faith at random, a word that she received by faith at random, excuse me. Vanessa, Proverbs 30 and 17, the eye that mocketh at his father, I would call it spiritual father, and despiseth to obey his, and I would call it spiritual mother, the ravens of the valley. Remember the ravens here, because they're going to come up again. That's demonic activity. The ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. So I'll read it to you a little quicker here. The eagle that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. They have no spiritual discernment. That's what the eye represents. Paul was a father, saying, you have not many fathers, and also I begat you through the gospel. Fathers today beget souls through the gospel, and the factious mock their fathers. They also disobey their mothers, the church, meaning the called out ones, those who have departed from apostasy. They mock them. That's because they've been turned over to a reprobate mind, as in Romans chapter 1 and the beginning of Romans chapter 2. God told us he would use the eagle of Babylon to take the false Christian systems with their plague that is coming. It's still coming, by the way. It's not over. The worst part is coming. And anarchy and war and fire, you know, has been the judgment of Babylon upon the apostate church. And we haven't seen anything yet. Hosea 8 and 1 says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. In other words, make a warning, right? As an eagle, he, that is God, cometh against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Yes, so God's going to use the eagle of Babylon, of this Babylonish system, which is the deep state and its underlings, until they pass away, which they are doing. Praise be to God. But they're going to strike back. The apostate Christians in America have become American rather than Christian. And as such, they're no witness of Christ or threat to Satan's kingdom. And as Jesus said, those who do not plunder Satan's kingdom are scattered by it. So it will come to pass. And I received by faith at random, she said, for this dream, Ezekiel 7:22. This is referring to the land of Israel in verse 2. In context, Ezekiel 7:20-22. As for the beauty of this, of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things therein. Therefore have I made it unto them as an unclean thing, and I will give it into the hands of strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall profane it. So these people who have gone astray in their abominations and their images and their false Jesus, who favors the wickedness that they do, God's going to give them into the hand of the wicked of the earth for a spoil. My face I will also turn from them, and they shall profane my secret place, and robbers shall enter into it and profane it. Does this sound like the Antichrist that everybody talks about? The son of perdition, actually, that enters into the holy place. Yes. That's why God is separating this time the tares from the wheat and gathering them into bundles to burn them, because they have polluted God's people. And God's people are going to be strong, and they're going to have great power when once they're cleaned up from all of this pollution. We have noticed it. Yeah. The children of Lot factioned against their brethren, the children of Abraham, and God reprobated them and turned them over to the eagle beast for destruction. And let me share that text with you, Jeremiah 48:38-45. On all the housetops of Moab, this is a faction, and in the streets thereof, there is lamentation everywhere. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein none delighteth. And that's happened to the faction too. Saith the Lord, how is it broken down? How do they wail? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab become a derision and a terror to all that are round about him. Yes, they are terrorists, you know. Even as the terrorists out there in the world who are attacking our republic, they too are attacking the church in the same way. They are terrorists. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle, and shall spread out his wings against Moab. There you go. The Lord is coming as an eagle to destroy Moab, the apostates, Babylon, the great eagle, and so many places, including Ezekiel 17, Babylon, the great eagle, shall spread out its wings against the faction, as they did in Ezekiel 17. took them captive. And the Lord will use the eagle of deep state Babylon to destroy the faction in the church against the true leadership. Yes, he will. Verse 41 says, Kerioth is taken, and the strongholds are seized. And the heart of the mighty men of Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. And of course he did this by magnifying himself against the people of the Lord. What you've done to the least of these my disciples, you've done it unto me. The least, you've done it unto me. So they are against the Lord. They will find out that the Lord is not their God, who is evil and favors their evil. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, says the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon him, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. You know, visitation through the Bible is, it connotes the coming of the Lord to bring judgment. The parallel is being fulfilled. But first, the natural and then the spiritual. Trump is destroying the deep state faction as we speak. The man-child will destroy the church faction, just as David did when he took down Edom. All the parallels are there. They don't have understanding of these things anymore. This has been taken from them. And they that fled stand without strength under the shadow of Heshbon. For a fire has gone forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and hath devoured the corner of Moab. There's that corner again. And the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Yes, the tumultuous ones. And this is a revelation given to Marie Kelton, and it's a very good one. We called it, The Lord Intervenes to Judge the Attackers. She said, I had an open vision this morning. That was 7:23:20. During the prayer meeting, it was right after Judy finished talking about her verse, which was Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew, hanging him upon a tree. We know that history repeats, and that Jesus is coming back in a larger body by his word and by his spirit. And they crucified them too, and that's the man-child. So, I was looking at the sky through the opened door at Denny and Debbie's house. That's where we were having they were having the meeting, and people join us, you know, from different houses in a Zoom meeting, prayer meeting. I saw the Lord Jesus in the sky. He was on a bed sleeping, but then he wildly woke up from it. This verse came to mind about the Lord waking up from sleep like a mighty man. Psalm 78:65-66. Then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. And he smote his adversaries backward. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Shame is one of the words that's used in the Bible most often for the faction, because they will be shamed. Whether they repent or not, that's another situation. But we can see that God is going to use Babylon to smite them. Also, when I saw the vision, the song popped into my head, "He's coming in the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down." Yes, amen, agreed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your appearance. Thank you, Lord, that there is going to be a visitation. And, of course, they didn't recognize the visitation. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't recognize the time of their visitation. But the Lord didn't come to judge at that moment. According to Isaiah 61, it's this time that he's coming to judge. In other words, not only is he going to give grace and mercy, he's going to judge. That's the part of the text that Jesus left out when he read it from the book. Remember? And he left it out because it's going to be fulfilled in these days. Yes, and his garments are going to be stained with blood, the Bible says, when he's coming from Edom. Also, when I saw the vision, the song popped into my head, "He's coming in the clouds." Now, the clouds, I remember the Lord in one revelation, somebody asking him, "I thought you were coming in the clouds." And he said, "I am in the clouds. It's the clouds of my people." And we're not talking about the coming of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period. We're talking about his coming at this end of the tribulation period. Not in the flesh to take a rapture or anything like that. That's what they're missing. And here's another one. We called it "The Bride is Protected." It was given to Claire Pienaar from Australia, 7/23/2020. I asked the Lord, as I planned to drift off to sleep, to show me where the attack was going to come from. As we're in the midst of a beast harlot faction in this little town. Yes, you know, it's really all over the world, spread out. Wherever God has gathered little members of the bride, he's gathered a faction against them to crucify them. So we thank you, Lord, for this victory that you are promising, because here we see the bride is protected. The Lord immediately showed me this vision while I was still awake. I saw myself on a stage, and I believe that she is a type of the bride here, in a huge old-fashioned theater with tiered balconies, box seats, and a gallery. I was on the stage down below. The stage took up the entire ground level of the theater. Well, we know a theater is something that is actually going on here. You know, there's a war theater here going on. And she had bangs, like a page boy kind of haircut. And I was wearing a white flowing garment, symbolizing Revelation 19:8. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, what depicts what a righteous act is? Of course, it's an act in obedience to the Word of God, in submission to Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So when people rebel against all law, the laws of man and the laws of God, like the faction does, that makes them ineligible. Yeah. My hands were by my sides, outstretched, with palms facing outward. I say that this is a sign of crucifixion and submission to God. I was watching myself from the vantage point of the left box up near the gallery. I saw snipers in black clothing everywhere. Yes, we know who they are. We had dreams that made the factious out to be snipers. I saw snipers in black clothing, in other words, in darkness, shooting from darkness, like Psalm 11:2, for lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. I saw red dots everywhere, showing the danger in this theater coming from every possible direction. And I saw myself in the crosshairs. Okay, again, this is the bride that they most want to take out. Why would that be? It would be because the devil knows that the bride is a threat to him and his kingdom. It's the devil ruling in them that has such a hatred for the man-child ministries and the bride ministries. He has to take them down. He's already got the church. He doesn't have to. They've already been captured. They're looking for deliverance. Remember, Esther, the church of that day, was in bondage. It was Esther's job to free them. Right? They were in bondage. He already had them. Now, I know that the anarchists and Antifa and radical Muslims have and will shoot Christians, whom they consider their mortal enemy, for telling the truth. But I'm going to concentrate here on the spiritual faction and the factious witchcraft demons and their factious demon hosts target the bride with character assassination. And as we know, if you don't remember this, or maybe you're joining us late, remember that David was a part of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, it was told to John the Revelator, was the bride. So the man-child, David, is a member of the bride. He's the head of the bride, underneath the real head of all, who is God. So the factious witchcraft demons and their factious demon hosts target the bride with this character assassination of their leadership, who has caught them in sin over and over. And when caught in sin and somebody's got factious spirits in them, they explode in every case. And they plot evil. I'll leave you a little link here to Christian snipers, in case you don't understand why they would be snipers. Proverbs 10 and 18 says, "He that hideth hatred is of lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." We just recently had somebody came to us just like this. They were hiding. We had revelations of hiding at the time. And, of course, they slandered and proved who they were. And we figured that that's who they were, but we gave them a chance, right? Psalm 101 and 5. "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy." God hates slander. "Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer." Amen. He will bring them down. Those who listen to slander are destroyed by faction demons. In other words, they are taking the arrow. They've been shot with this arrow. They're accepting it as theirs. It's too late. They're dying from it. Right? Proverbs 17 and 4. "An evil doer giveth heed to wicked lips." Who is it that listens to a slanderer contrary to all Jesus' commands? "An evil doer giveth heed to wicked lips, and a liar giveth ear to a mischievous tongue." So you see who gets taken out. Through this, liars are separated from the bride, who will not disobey the Lord's word, and are safe because of this. Revelation 22:14 and 15. "Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life and may enter in by the gates into the city. That's the city of the bride. Not everybody enters in. Without, that means the people who are not able to enter in. Without are the dogs. These are people generally spoken of in the Bible as fornicators of different types, you know, which they are. And the sorcerers, that's the word for witchcraft, yeah, which they do. And fornicators, which they are. And the murderers, which they are. And the idolaters, which they are. And everyone that loveth and maketh a lie, which they do. So, we wash our robes that we can come to the tree of life. People that do these things can't do it. They don't have any part in the tree of life. They have to repent. Even just one thing, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you're not saved. The thing about these people is they judge people for the sins that they do. They judge righteous people and blame them for sins that they do. And they're unforgiving towards them. Pretty soon they believe what they say. It is so ludicrous. And, what are the words that makes the bride safe? Well, I'll just give you a for instance here. Titus 3:10-11. A factious man, that's somebody who wants to cause division by speaking against others behind their back. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse. Why does he treat this particular sin like this? Because it is a demon spirit. And it will spread like a plague. Knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. In Romans 16:17-18, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions. That's what faction is. Mark them that are causing the divisions, and occasions of stumbling, because that's what they want to do. They want to make someone stumble. Contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. If you don't obey, you will get captured. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, oh yes, they're very smooth, they beguile or deceive the hearts of the innocent. See, that's the thing. They can deceive the innocent if they disobey these things. My people are destroyed for lack of understanding, the Lord said, right? Lack of knowledge. And so there are some innocent among them that we pray the Lord in his mercy will deliver. And I get bullets in the back all the time because the factious don't speak to your face alone, as Jesus demands in Matthew 18:15, but go straight to the public, which is reserved for the third step in verse 17. But they never do the other two steps before. They always go straight to it because they're slanderers. That's what slanderers do. And you only do this, Matthew 18:15-17, when there is sin. And you can prove it with two or three witnesses, not somebody's opinion and perversion. Now, Matthew 18:15 says, if thy brother sin against thee, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. They never do this. But if they do ever do it during the process, you know, after they've talked to other people, if they do ever do it, they don't listen to the proof. They don't have witnesses. We do. We have the witnesses. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee two one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three every word may be established. There must be two or three witnesses of sin. They don't have that. They don't have one. And if he refused to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he refused to hear the church also, let him be unto thee as a Gentile and a publican. Well, you know how they treated Gentiles and publicans. That's the way you're supposed to treat these people, because they're out to kill you, dismember you from the body of Christ. Some who are influenced by critical spirits receive accusations against elders in their minds from demons, or they do it from others. Contrary to 1 Timothy 5 and 19, and then they turn and accuse and gossip about and backbite and slander them, effectively separating others from the leadership that they need. And this has happened, and the blood of these saints is upon their heads. They are truly a harlot who has turned from their Lord, receiving a different seed than they're supposed to receive. And this dream is showing us how God views this behavior. 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder, receive not an accusation. It doesn't matter how it comes, whether it comes by spirit or whether it comes by words from people. Receive not an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses, and that's witnesses of sin. These liars do this when they get caught by witnesses of sin, and then turn and slander the witnesses of committing their sin. Then they say, the Lord told me, or this means this, or this means that. They always got to pervert it, just as the verse we just read, they're perversers. And God said, witnesses. Yeah. And once the demons enter one who disobeys, they actually believe what these factious or Democrats say. Yeah. So, she went on to say, I prayed for protection for myself, and as the first bullet flew, I was covered by the biggest pair of wings I'd ever seen. easily twice the size of a man. I did not see who the wings belonged to, but these wings looked like large hands folding over one another. And no bullet could penetrate through that. I then saw an old-fashioned cartoon-like bomb drop from behind one of the stage lights that were directed straight at me. And this bomb fell onto the wings, but instead of exploding, it remained suspended there, diffused, no longer burning, and it tumbled to the ground gently. Okay. That's a pretty good description of the bride being one that's protected from these bullets. It may take people out all around them, just like Psalm 91 speaks about, but it won't take them, because they're in the secret place of the Most High, and they're under the wings of Almighty God. And she said, the words came to me, Psalm 17 and 8, hide me under the shadow of your wings. And so I'll just repeat Psalm 91, 1 through 8 to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that's abiding in Jesus Christ. Most of the Christians don't know where the secret place is because they don't abide in Christ. It is a safe place, abiding in Christ, which means obeying what he says. This is a safe place. Most Christians don't abide there. And therefore, they get taken out. The bullets catch them. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There it is. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. That's why the wings, right? His truth is a shield and a buckler. The truth is a defense against the enemy. This is what he's talking about. Your truth is a defense against any judgment out there that would come towards God's people. See, the truth. Abiding in the secret place of the Most High, which is his truth. It's a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, and there is a pestilence coming, my friends. We've been warned about it. We warned you about it. So make sure you understand how to be delivered from this one. This is one that causes people to drop dead before they ever get to any hospital. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why? Because they're under the wings of the Lord. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Okay. Many people will die, but the righteous will see the reward of the wicked. She said, I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received this. Luke 21:20-22. But when you see Jerusalem, and this is talking about the apostate leadership of Israel, who the Roman beast destroyed, right? When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, so he's applying that to us today. The Roman beast, of course, was the eagle. Compassed with armies, then know that her desolation is at hand. How are you seeing the armies out there? Newsom on the West Coast has used money that wasn't his to use to buy military equipment for these anarchists and so on. Yeah. Then let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains, and let them that are in the midst of her depart out. And let not them that are in the country enter therein. Yep. Come out from among them, come out from under their leadership, and get far away from them, so you don't partake of her plagues. For these are the days of vengeance, it saith, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. The beast will destroy the usurper, apostate leadership of the faction and of the church. And as history repeats, because history always repeats, just got to find out who's who, and you will know what's going to happen. Because there's one mind on the throne. It's God. And he says it will repeat. My finger was pointing to mountains. And on the next line, in other words, her finger was between two lines, let not them that are in the country enter therein. So go to the mountains. Go to the high places. Don't hang out in the valley with these folks. I asked the Lord for another word by faith at random and received Micah 7:17-18. With my finger on, they will come trembling out of their dens. Like the caves, you know. And this is the remnant of those who repent in time. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, like crawling things of the earth. They shall come trembling out of their close places. They shall come with fear unto the Lord our God, and shall be afraid because of thee, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth over transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. The remnant of his heritage, right? He will pass over that. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in loving kindness. Yes, absolutely. Lord, we thank you for your kindness, your loving kindness, and your mercy towards your people. And we appreciate so much what you are doing and what you've already told us you're going to do. It gives us complete rest when we have faith in your promises. Amen. Okay, here's a revelation given to Gabe Watson. We called it "Glory to God Destroys Fear of the Wicked." Amen. Got this on 7/21. I had this dream where it seemed like I was over this area, like it was my jurisdiction. You know, whatever area that we are in, it is our jurisdiction. We've been given authority over all the sinners and over all the principalities and powers and so on. Now, they don't admit that, of course. And our authority is, of course, to bring down their judgments against others and to bring down the judgment upon them, as the Lord has written. So we have authority that the sinners don't have over the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness that rule over the enemy. Luke 9:1 says, "And he called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases." And Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." They don't believe this, you see. They think that they can hurt us. So authority over the power of the enemy. Authority is the right to use their power. You have authority. You've been given the authority from heaven to control their power. It's over all the power of the enemy. They don't have authority. We got authority. "And nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Matthew 18:18-19 says, "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Wow, he has delegated authority to us, hasn't he? "And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let's say carnal Christians do not believe this. Infectious people don't believe this. Therefore, they don't have this. That's just the way it works. You know, God makes the promises and we believe them. "And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." Amen. That's why you come together to pray with the saints, you know, to add your faith to theirs and to come against the enemies of God's people. And to, you know, have the ear of the Lord, like Esther did. She had the ear of the King of Kings. "And Gabe said, my wife was with me, and we saw this old lady. She seemed to be kind of nice." And they do kind of put that air on. "For some reason, she said to me, 'Hail Hydra. Hail Hydra. And that's a greeting among the Nazis, for one thing. You want to know who the Nazis are? It's the people calling other people Nazis. Yeah, that's right. President Trump, these people all called him, I don't know how many times they've called him a Nazi. For goodness sake, if they're not Nazis, that's what they do. They blame everybody for who they are. It's silly demons. Most people who have any brains left know it. I was the only one that heard it. It was like she was talking to me. At once I knew she was completely evil. The next thing I know, I'm at a house that I knew as a child was a contentious and factious place. So the Lord uses things that we know about, things that we remember, to apply to things today, because history repeats, right? And so he knows what he's talking about here, this why this woman is evil. She represents this house of contentious and factious people. And this woman represents both the body of the faction in the secular world and in the church, for they're both members of the body of the dragon, right? They're both very forceful. I don't know if you've noticed it. They don't believe at all in democracy, for instance. If you look at the political side, they don't believe in the vote of the people or democracy. They just demand their will. We have a right to force you to do what we want. That's a bunch of communists. And yes, they got that through the mass media and through their professors in school and just other stupid people like that. They're not content with our democracy. On the Christian side, of course, they're not content either to let you make your choice or just ignore them if you want to. They keep coming back, biting you on your heels, you know, as I call it. Or simply sharing their opinion. They think that their opinion is worth something. They think it's more important than, well, democracy or the choice that a person has. We give people a choice. When we speak the Word of God to them, we give them the choice. They can make the choice. You offer to them the good. If they choose the bad, well, they took the choice. But these people don't give you a choice. You either do it or they'll come back hounding you. Best thing to do is obey Titus 3:10-11. And the Lord knows that. That's why he gave us that command in this particular sin. They're compelled by anarchist, factious, witchcraft, communist, and slander spirits to force their slander on others and or to deceive those who are honest and have a conservative or a biblical mindset. They feel compelled. That's because the demons want to bring down righteous people. They already have the wicked in the church. They want to bring down the righteous people. These are the ones they know are going to bring them down. So they make war against them. You would think, you know, that people that separated from a full gospel ministry that serves God's people and holds people's feet to the fire as far as the word, you would think that they would go after some totally apostate. No, they don't. You'd think they'd go after the totally apostate systems that are deceiving people. No, they don't. That's how you know it's the devil, you see. James 3:16, for where jealousy and faction are, and there is jealousy, great jealousy among them. They all desire the position that they claim that they have. I mean, I don't know how many of them have gone away from here claiming that they are the man child, that they are a prophet, that they are an apostle, etc., etc. But where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. Now, he doesn't say this about anything else. Again, he's separating faction as one of the worst sins out there. Every vile deed. That's what that demon does to him. James 3 at 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, what does he know here? He says, glory not, which is what they do, and lie not against the truth, which is what they do. The Lord knows this spirit. This spirit has been around since the beginning. It has attacked everybody who was anybody in God. It's like the Jezebel spirit. They both go after the leadership, both of them. Because that's the, if you can destroy the foundations, you know, what hope do the righteous have, right? Romans 2 and 8. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, because if you're factious, you'd obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. Now, they know that this says, that the word says this, but they don't believe it's them. Tribulation and anguish. Yes, Jezebel and her family will be thrown into great tribulation. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. And Titus 3:10 and 11, a factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse. He's warning you. Knowing that such a one is perverted, I have never seen one of them that wasn't perverted. Those spirits immediately bring perversion into their lives. And sinneth being self-condemned. We know one person very close who was going out to the local college to try to seduce this lesbian. Yeah. So, and, you know, Gabe put a note here. He said, Hydra is a term used in the comic series Captain America. It was an evil group that was hidden and looked like normal people. When they would come in contact with their followers, they would say, Hail Hydra! To each other. It was the continuation of the Nazi group, because they did that too. Hail Hydra! They were more secretive, however, infiltrating groups that were trying to do good. They would appear good and helpful on the outside, but on the inside they were carrying out their Nazi Hydra, which is Antichrist, agenda. Yes, they are Antichrist. And Denny Finsky, when I shared a piece of this, he brought this up very well, which is true. I've studied this in the past. It's been in water quite a while, but it's a prophecy in the heavens about Hydra. You know, and Denny wrote, Hydra is a very lengthy minor constellation in the heavens, located just below Virgo and Leo. Hydra is depicted as a female serpent, the mother of all evil, maybe the female in this dream. I believe so. Yes, it fits perfectly. That has a tilted cup. In other words, this constellation has the serpent and a tilted cup and a raven on its back. So on the back of the serpent is this tilted cup and a raven. The tilted cup means God's cup of wrath poured out on it. Absolutely. And the raven, because let me say this, wrath poured out on it. It doesn't start as Well, it is physical, but it is mental and it is spiritual first. They become more and more corrupt. They lose every bit of knowledge they ever got when they came to UBM. I've actually had them tell me that. David, it's all gone. Everything I learned here is gone. And, you know, it was a reprobation. He took the good away. Only the wicked was left. So, and the raven on the back, of course, represents darkness and demons. It's portrayed as devouring the serpent's flesh on the bottom of the zodiac, which I'll put in this right here so that you can look at it, on the bottom of the zodiac. These three minor constellations, Hydra, the Cup, and the Raven, are the very last constellations in the zodiac. The Maseroth, in the Hebrew, Job 38:31-33, is the 12 signs of the zodiac and tells the end of the whole zodiac story of the final defeat of the serpent and the wrath poured out on it. Yes, it's telling the story that we are living now. Job 38:31-33. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth? That Maseroth is a term used for the zodiac. In their season? Or can you guide the bear with her children? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on the earth? Now, I know how they've perverted the zodiac, okay? But that's not what we believe. The zodiac is a prophecy. God put those stars there, and he's the one that wrote about right here in his word these constellations and how he uses them. He's the one that started this. Men perverted it. Men want to tell you what your future is, but they don't even know what the symbols mean. So men want to do that. Astrology. It's not astronomy, it's astrology. The zodiac is a prophecy in ordinances of the defeat of evil. Now you know what Hydra is. It's the evil that has to be defeated. Psalm 19:1-6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night after night declares knowledge. So of the prophetic ordinances of the zodiac and the victory of the man-child over this, you know, that's knowledge. That knowledge is there in the zodiac of the victory of the man-child in many places. And, of course, we talk about the man-child is Jesus first in the New Testament fulfilled that prophecy. But now Jesus in a larger body is fulfilling that prophecy in our day. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Yeah, it's all over the earth. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs his course. In other words, through the heavens, across the heavens, right? Runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. Of course, that's from our viewpoint. We see when it rises, and we see when it sets, right? And there is nothing hid from its heat. And here we're going to put a picture of the zodiac. And at the very bottom, you can see the serpent. The old serpent, of course, is what? The dragon. Yes. And right next to it, by the way, is a warrior slaying a dragon. Well, some people call it a dog. You know, it could be. And there's other ones here of dragons. So anyway, the next thing I know, I'm at a house that I knew as a child was a contentious and factious place. I began praying fervently once I saw the house because I knew the Hydra lady was in the house and that she knew that I was praying outside the house. Well, notice Jack Gabe's on the outside, she's on the inside. He's not a part of the faction, obviously. I saw a house in an open vision, and it was a dragon seeking to come through a back window into the house. And at that time, it was the faction that was seeking to destroy people. Okay. It's the old serpent, right? The dragon, you know, was cursed to crawl on its belly. The serpent evidently did not crawl on its belly until it was cursed by the Lord. Right? In other words, it became more and more corrupt and more earthly and more bound to the earth. Right? Gabe went on to say, I also knew that her husband, that is this evil woman, this Hydra lady, her husband, the old man, well, now you can see that her head, her leadership, her false prophets, right? That's who this old man is. That's where who her head is, was in that house. So the Hydra lady that represents the larger body and their leadership was in the house. And I began to walk down the side of the house outside. I felt the presence of evil and began to feel fear. Well, obviously we are to fear not the factious. They're going to lose just as they did throughout the Bible and secular history. Because when God says something about the factious, it always comes to pass. It's not a maybe. It's going to happen. And these people have attacked God's leadership and God's people from the beginning. This is a repeat of history today that was prophesied. Because the Lord told me everything that happened in the days when Jesus spoke in the Gospels is happening again on a larger scale. Everything is multiplied. Every time a prophecy is repeated, it's repeated with more and more people. But this is how you know the truth. The pattern has been laid down. Jesus was called the pattern son, right? The pattern is laid down. He's going to keep to the pattern. I then began to pray and say over and over, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And you can do this too. I knew that they hated this, and I could feel the presence of the enemy, but I couldn't see them. I was wondering if they were going to come out and try to attack me at any moment, because that's what they do. As I looked at the house, I could see little windows, but all I could see was darkness in the windows. Darkness. They shoot from darkness, right? First of all, they are cowards who will not debate on the basis of civil or moral law, as in the Bible, for they fear truth and the proof. They think only their opinions count. And they're very self-righteous about their opinions. They attack from darkness with slander. That's their arrows, because these are what they expect will bring you down. Again, Psalm 11 and 2. For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. But we know that God, who cannot lie, said he would destroy them. But they don't believe it. They believe their God. And you know who their God is in the political realm? It's Satan. Do you know who their God is in the spiritual realm? It's Satan. Yes, it is. The parallel is complete. All these people being caught in the upper echelons of the elite and the deep state are Satanists. They've been sacrificing babies just like our faction. But God, like I said, who cannot lie, said he would destroy them. Psalm 101 and 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. This is them, a high look and a proud heart. They lure unsuspecting souls into their internet rooms so that they can secretly stab in the back those righteous that they and their demons hate. They judge the righteous in private without hearing their side, just like the House did President Trump. You remember that? They didn't want to have anybody. They didn't want to bring any witnesses. They had their witness hidden out down in the cellar down there, and they'd go down and talk to him. What a bunch of foolishness, and totally against the law. They flaunted God's law, and they're still walking free, but not for long. In fact, I'm not so sure that they're all walking free. I don't think so. But they did the same thing to President Trump. John 7 and 51 says, doth our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and know what he doeth? Everybody's got a right in any law out there to bring forth the defense. But they don't want that. That would make them look very bad. And the House did not permit it. And there are stalkers who are afraid to be opposed by truth and proof. So they hide and slander. So one of our brethren talked about going into Walmart here just the other day. And was talking to another Christian, and this slanderer was stalking them, going all the way around them, passing it through the aisle above and below. And I mean, it was so obvious. They thought they were hiding. That happened to me one time, the same guy. Yeah, stalking me. And the Lord gave me a supernatural vision during the whole thing. Yes. And I passed by him. I saw him looking at me, and I heard supernaturally his feet running towards me. And I could hear every step. Even though he was quite a ways from me, I heard it supernaturally. Every step as he ran towards me. And I ducked into the aisle where the automotive stuff was, looking for something, oil or something. I forget what it was. And I even though my head was turned away from the aisle, I heard him go past me in the aisle behind me. Every step he took, I heard it. And I saw him in my mind doing it. And then he went down and ducked into an aisle further towards the front, which I had to pass on my way out. And so on my way out, I kept looking to the left to see which one of those aisles he ducked into. And suddenly I came face to face with him, and he had that dumb look on his face like, uh-oh, I've been caught. and they have a habit of doing such things as this. They're trying to find you, catch you doing something. They just know you're doing something wrong. When you go to the automotive section, yeah. Anyway, Gabe said, I just kept saying those words, glory to God. And inside I felt anger from the enemy. But when I would say that, I felt another presence, the presence of glory. They can do nothing with the presence of God, folks. God said to mark them, meaning identify them to others, as was done in the scriptures, Romans 16 and 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. They don't pay any attention to that either. And turn away from them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Then Gabe said, I came to the very end of the house, and I was afraid that the evil lady was going to come out, and I just kept praying. I was hoping to find my wife and not run into the evil lady. And one of the forces of darkness that they themselves fear is the spirit of fear. When we give glory to God, they can do nothing. Now, I want to say this. I asked the Lord, Lord, this looks like a promise that if we say glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, your presence will be with us to defend us from the evil enemy. I said, is this literal? Can we say this? And I got a yes from God, because I know giving glory to God is a way to have his presence. But the Lord was saying here that you can say it because of this promise that he's given in this dream. You can say it, and God will defend you with his presence under the shadow of his wings, right? All right, that's pretty cool, isn't it? I was just wondering, because I thought it seemed like God was giving us a promise here. So they can't do anything with the presence of God. The demons cower at the presence of God. And outside the dream, in real life, my wife was taking care of the baby because he was up, and she heard me saying in my sleep, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. She grabbed my leg to wake me up because she knew I was sleeping. In the dream, when she shook my leg to wake me up, there was lightning everywhere. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. There was lightning everywhere. And when she let go of my leg, the lightning would stop, and then I woke up. Well, lightning, of course, God takes credit for lightning. And lightning is a sign of God's coming power to destroy these wicked people. Many people have been killed or severely wounded by lightning. And God claims that as his power. 2 Samuel 22 and 15 says, he sent out arrows and scattered them. That was the enemy against God's people. Scattered them. That means they reap what they sow of the faction, right? Lightning and discomfited them. Lightning. There's his arrows right there. His lightning. Job 36 and 31. For by these he judgeth the peoples. He giveth food in abundance. He covereth his hands with the lightning. And he giveth it a charge that it strike the mark. Mark them. Right? Ezekiel 21 and 15. I have set the threatening sword against all their gates, that their heart may melt and their stumblings be multiplied. And this is, of course, happening. They're making bad, bad decisions because they don't longer have the Bible to go by. Their heart may melt and their stumblings be multiplied. Ah, it is made as lightning. It is pointed for slaughter. Yep. When I woke up, I started reflecting on the dream, and I still felt similar emotions going on in my body. I started thinking about that old lady, and I could feel fear, and I just started praying out loud, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God." And the more I would say it, the more I would feel this overwhelming presence of almost electricity. That's lightning. Matthew 10:26. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed." That's what they're afraid of. That's why they hide in darkness. "That shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." In other words, this is God speaking a promise. You don't have to fear them. All their evil is going to be known. This is going to happen in the physical, political, and spiritual church realms, as the word says. The parallel between the political and spiritual factions is clear. Like in President Trump's case, we're the ones who have all the evidence and all the witnesses, including their own confessions before witnesses. We have it all. Psalm 59:12. You know, President took over the NSA. Admiral Rogers went over there and revealed to him the authority he had for all the information in the NSA. They know everything. And the Lord has made sure that we do too. So 59:12, Psalm 59:12, "For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak." Well, Gabe said, "In this state, I contemplated if I was going to start floating." I felt so engulfed by this that it covered every part of my body. And I knew that it covered outside of my body, too. This happened 3 times. I never felt anything like that in my life to that level. Yeah, he asked me, "Have you ever felt anything like that, you know?" Yeah, I said, "Well, I felt physical manifestations, not just like that, but yes, it's very interesting." Yeah, you could tell Gabe was very impressed when he came from this revelation. "And as I felt this wonderful presence coming over me, I could feel an evil voice in my head, hating what was going on." See, these people don't know why they hate. They don't even think it's wrong to hate. That's the truth. They don't think it's wrong. And they would say they never hate. "Oh, I love David." But they're just as fake as a $3 bill. They're all putting on a front, masking. And they were hating what was going on here. Glory to God, filling the righteous with the glory of God, the presence of God, and wanting me to stop saying this. So I just kept saying it, and more, until the presence consumed the voice, until I was completely full of this presence. So, I mean, obviously, Gabe went through all this to show us and to reveal this to us. Ain't God good? The arrows of the enemy failing to hit their mark, obviously, is what this is talking about. It was almost like, Gabe said, it's almost like when Popeye would squeeze the spinach can, and the can would just about explode, and then the spinach would come out. That's what my mind felt like when the evil presence was being eradicated. Pretty neat, huh? Yes. Yes, they can't put fear, anxiety, stress. You can't put that on you. You just cling to the presence of God. And he went on to say, the presence of God consumed every pore of my body. This was the verse that I got by faith at random to the dream, Ezekiel 9:6. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, and the virgin, and the little children and the women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And in this case, it was the mark of God. And begin at my sanctuary. Look at that. Begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the old men that were before the house. So what are these old men before the house? They're those who were matured in knowledge, but whose sin remained. In other words, they are more responsible. That's why he began with them. They're more responsible. They learned more. They understood more. The people who came through this ministry understood a lot more than people out there. Because that's what we studied over and over. Those who were matured in their knowledge, but who held on to their sins. That's who these old men represent. So here's the text. Ezekiel 9:1-11. Then he cried in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause ye them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Now, at the beginning of this revelation, Gabe said, it was my jurisdiction, meaning he was over the wicked. He got the revelation as he went through there, of course. He was over the wicked. A lot of people don't know this. We have jurisdiction over the wicked. So, he said that these people who have jurisdiction come bring their destroying weapon. Verse 2, behold, six men came by the way of the upper gate, which lieth towards the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man in the midst of them, clothed in linen. Guess who that is? It's Jesus, the Word of God. With a writer's inkhorn by his side. He knows it all. He's like Trump with the NSA. And he keeps records better than the NSA. So he's kept the records of our righteousness, and he's kept records of their sin. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon it was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, this is the Father, I believe, speaking unto Jesus, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads. Do you know who the mark on the foreheads of the righteous is? It's the Word of God, Jesus Christ, in your mind. It's the mind of the Spirit. Set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Okay, now we see it's those who hate sin because they love God. They have the mark of God upon the foreheads. Okay, the mark of Jesus, the Word, in their forehead is the mind of the Spirit. And the mark of Jesus, the Word, in their hand, if you want to apply the revelation part of it, is the works of obedience to him. Verse 5. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye through the city after him and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, and the virgin, and the little children, and the women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and this is the mark of God, and begin at my sanctuary. So, the destruction of those that walk after the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's what Paul said in Romans 8. And a slaughter is prepared first for the wicked in the church. This is what he's saying. Begin at my sanctuary. God wants to cleanse his church. He's going to drain the swamp. And then his people are going to be a powerful people when they get rid of the unforgiving, the critical, the slanderer, the people who are evil in their hearts, the people that don't give grace to others the way they want grace for themselves, the people who don't forgive others when they have so much sin against the Lord and he is not going to forgive them for their sin. Matthew 18 tells us very plainly. He instead turns them over to the tormentors. My Father will turn you over to the tormentors, Jesus said, if you don't forgive everyone your brother from the heart. They do everything but forgive, and they blame people for their own sins, which is a double whammy. Then they began at the old men that were before the house, those with the spiritual mark of the beast who are marked in their mind as the mind of the flesh and in their hand as the works of the flesh. And he said unto them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain. Yes, this is the defiled, when you have the dead among the righteous, that's the defiling of the house. This is why they have to be removed. Go ye forth. I'm just so thankful that I've never really had to remove any. They got mad at very humble requests for them to repent of doing something that everybody here knows is sin. And they refused, and instead turned and blamed everything they could on us. Yeah. Defile the house with the courts, with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and smote in the city. And it came to pass, while they were smiting, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord Jehovah, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel, all the remnant of Israel, in thy pouring out of thy wrath upon Jerusalem? Many are called, but few are chosen. What does this thing do? It separates the called who do not come to partake of the marriage feast of the body and blood of Christ. The called who do not come, and the called who do come, who are the elect. That's the two groups that we're talking about here. When the people who do come, they partake of the body and blood of Christ, part of which is the Word of God and the Spirit of God, right? They do partake of that. It becomes part of them. When you eat something, it goes into you and becomes who you are. They do partake of that. The rest, they revert right back to their youthful lusts and become worse than they ever were before, as Jesus said, worse. And now they're guilty more than anybody else because they heard the truth. Wow. Yeah. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood. You remember the harlot was, the mother of the harlots, was guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets. And this harlot, which is turned away from God and turned to receive the seed of Satan and submitted to him as though he is God, they are guilty of a lot of blood. We've had many dreams about them slaughtering the babies, slaughtering the children, dismembering them. And the Lord explained to us this represented dismembering them from the body of Christ. Because if you fall into unforgiveness, you are dismembered from the body of Christ. This is more dangerous than if somebody killed you. If they killed you and you knew God, that's not a bad thing. You go into the presence of the Lord. But if they kill you spiritually, that's an eternal destruction. These are more wicked than the people out there that are physically killing people. They are guilty of their blood. They've slaughtered and dismembered God's children with their slander. And the silly city is full of resting of judgment. Yes, it's like the house when they did everything they could to cut off Trump and failed. The same thing is happening in the spiritual realm. Everything they can. It'll all fail because we know what the Bible says. It's very clear and it gives total confidence, you know, to God's people. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the land. Oh, they think he's not around for some reason. And the Lord seeth not. Now, they wouldn't say that, as I've said before, but they do not believe that a righteous God, one who hates their sin, is watching and has written their sentence already. It's in the scriptures. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their way upon their head. And this is, of course, saying the same thing he said over and over in the scriptures. They're going to reap what they have sown. And behold, the man clothed in linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Wow. Here's some words received on the day of this dream. 7:21-20. But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers. That's revilers, railers, those that speak against others. Disobedient to parents, spiritual and physical. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable. Slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good. Traitors, you know, like Judas, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses. And we got this also just this morning. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women. And, of course, the women here are bodies of apostates. And, yes, we got this also in the text this morning. Laden with sins, led away by divers lusts. These are their followers. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Judges 9:6. And all the men of Shechem, this is what one we received, on the day of this revelation was given. All the men of Shechem assembled themselves together and all the house of Milo and went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar that was in Shechem. The faction that killed Gideon's sons, except for one man child, like Herod tried to kill all the sons, but he missed the one that was important, Jesus, right? Who spoke their judgment to reap the faction they sowed, which came to pass in that day, and it will in our day, because it's a symbol of these things of the faction today. And in the natural, the faction who has slandered President Trump are all ratting on one another to try to save their own worthless hides. And so it will be in the church. Here is the full text, Judges 9, 1 through 20. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and spake with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you that all the sons of Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, who are 70 persons, rule over you, or that one rule over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech. Yep, because of their own selfish purposes, right? For they said, He is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light fellows who followed him. Hey, it sounds like the conspiracy against Jesus, too, huh? And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. Yes, he's hidden in the Lord, hidden in Christ, hidden in the secret place of the Most High. Just as Herod killed all the brothers of Jesus but failed to kill him who was the man-child, so has the evil leader of the faction done. And all the men of Shechem assembled themselves together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, that is the man-child, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, Reign thou over us. Well, you know, Gideon refused to rule over them. He said God would rule over them. The same thing any righteous person today would say is we teach people to be disciples of Christ, not disciples of us. And that's what Gideon did, a very righteous thing. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to wave to and fro over the trees, which are these people? And the tree said unto the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave to and fro over the trees? And the tree said unto the vine, Uh-oh, he's getting lower and lower and lower. The vine, of course, doesn't have any backbone, right? And the tree said unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. Notice, they had to stoop lower and lower to find a leader of their faction. Isn't that amazing? This is a curse that was spoken out of the mouth of the man-child here. And this has been spoken over them too. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my new wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to wave to and fro over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. So, now remember, we got all these by faith at random. The Lord himself is what gave these verses to us, and the Lord himself gave us dreams to us, and If they don't like it, that's tough. The Lord is rebuking them. So they settled for a leader who was the last and the biggest sinner and a symbol of the curse itself, a bramble. And the bramble said unto the trees, "If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Faction. "Now, therefore, if you have dealt truly and uprightly in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life." Now, can you see this? Just as President Trump has stood behind America and fought for America, these wicked people have blamed him for everything in the world. They are the faction. And the man-child body has done the same. Like David taking care of the sheep, defending them from the wolf and from the bear. And yet, they've got teeth. So, I'll go back and read that again. "For my father fought for you and adventured his life and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And you are risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his sons, 70 upon one stone. And have made Abimelech the son of his maidservant king over the men of Shechem." Notice, he wasn't even of the bride at all. "Because he is your brother." "If ye then have dealt truly and uprightly with Jerubbaal and his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech." What the faction sowed, they reaped, and killing their evil leadership. You know, like Sennacherib had to go home and his own sons killed him. So they killed each other off. And it came to pass as a prophecy of this day. And I was told many years ago that this last and most evil man would gather together the factions to try to destroy myself and UBM, and it has come. This text given by Faith at Random on the 20th is about all of Israel's enemies gathering to destroy them, but destroyed just like, but were destroyed, just like Sennacherib scenario, Jehoshaphat scenario, Red Sea scenario, Northern Army scenario that he's given us in the same method, in the same way, and in the teachings. And so, here it is. This is the text that he got. Psalm 83, 1 through 18. This is the word that we receive by faith at random. "A song, a psalm of Asaph. O God, keep not thou silence, hold not thy peace, be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult." There's the tumultuous ones. "And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They take crafty counsel against thy people and consult together against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. Against thee do they make a covenant. Yes, they don't know that, but that's what's happening. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, well, these were traitors from the beginning and factious from the beginning. Moab, so too. Hagar, same thing, Hagarines. Gebel and Ammon, all these factioned against their brother. And Amalek, Philistia, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Selah, do thou unto them as unto Midian, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the river Kishon. Listen to this. Do thou unto them in this way, who perished at Endor and became as dung on the earth. And then this curse from God on all who do not repent was spoken. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb. That's their leadership. And all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna. In other words, they died just like they did, get destroyed just like they did. Who said, let us take to ourselves in possession the habitations of God. You see, they've tried from the beginning to take over UBM. And failed because of Almighty God. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire that burneth the forest, and as the flame that setteth the mountains on fire. So pursue them with thy tempest, and terrify them with thy storm. Fill their faces with confusion, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. And of course, as we've said, the elect among them will repent when they see the destruction of their faction. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Yea, let them be confounded and perish, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, thou art most high over all the earth. And then we got on the 19th, John 8:44-47, where he called them sons of the devil, murderers, liars. Romans 1:17-19. The wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. And Esther, you know, where Mordecai defended the king against these two evil people. And we defend the king by defending his word, defending his people. And the judgment that came upon Haman, who had to dress up Mordecai in the king's clothing, which of course means putting on righteousness. You know, the devil does this. They don't know it. But they crucified Jesus and made him greater than anything he was on this earth. He went straight to be with the Lord. He went to the throne of God. So this proud and presumptuous Antichrist man sought to murder the man-child and his contemporaries, but only succeeded in crucifying him and dressing him in the king's clothes. How awesome. Well, Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom today. We pray earnestly for your elect that come out from among them and be separate and be spared all these things that you have told us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen, saints. God bless you. We'll do this again some other time. Good night.